Praise God. Why? Because God created the world with words. He said, let there be, and there was. So everything that's done on earth is always a reflection of what's already been done in heaven. Now, in heaven, there's no time. There's no space. It's not like earth. But earth, then, is the recipient of all the gifts of God. And God is a giver of every good and faithful gift. They're all for you. They're all for us. They're not for God. He gave a gift, his son. Jesus is the only thing that he really gave, because God doesn't give stuff. But we thank him for stuff. But he doesn't give stuff, he gives himself. And when you have Christ Jesus, you really freely get all things. So the devil has never been in charge. The devil has no power whatsoever on earth. Now you say, what about the wicked? Yes, of course he's the god of this world. But it's temporal. It only lasts for a few years, and then it's over. So everything God does is so that you might believe, and that's it. So the only gospel we have is that Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal his Father in heaven. Now, Jesus is actually part of the Godhead, so he reveals himself. But while he was on the earth, he was somewhat limited. For example, he could die. And that's the only reason that God sent him as Son of Man, is so that he could die. So I want to teach you these three gifts that I did preach about on Christmas Eve, that you're born again, and you have life, eternal life, so that you can die, so that you can resurrect. So you're born to die, to resurrect. If you want to resurrect, you must be dead, because resurrection is always out of the realm of the dead. They call it Hades. So if you're dead, you can't just resurrect. You have to be dead to resurrect, but you have to have life in order to die, in order to resurrect. So those three are the atonement, at-one-ment. They're the atonement that Jesus Christ gave as a gift to us. And he gave himself. So he was the high priest that changed the temporal high priest of all the other religions that are no religions at all. Because all the other religions are completely lies, deception. Jupiter, for example, is Japheth, and so on. They're just names that people make up and places and so on. But our religion is the only religion. I have to say that because it isn't like we're competing with other religions. It's the only religion that God acts in and for. Now, he shines his light, shines his rain, and so on good and evil. So he's not against the evil people. In fact, he only came for evil people. Well, that's all he had. Because of Adam and Eve, all he has is evil people. So it's like, who will I pick on today? No, it's not that. It's that he wants to save the evil people from misery. Because otherwise you're poor, wretched, blind, miserable. And so God wants to save you from that. And so he sent Jesus, his son, who always does what's pleasing to the Father. And since God is good, Jesus is good. Since God is merciful, he's merciful. Since God is gracious and kind and so on and so forth, you are too. And that's who we are. We are the beachhead for the kingdom of God. We are if you want to invade a country, you have to have a place that you access that country, a place that you make a beachhead. And from then on, the battle then is won. And so we're the beachhead of the kingdom of God on the earth through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kingdoms of this world will pass away. They're here today, but they're not here in a little while. and a little while could be 1,000 years. But in a little while, you will see the wicked no more. They'll never, ever, ever, ever inhabit the earth. It'll be a new heaven, new earth. It won't be like this one, because only us will be alive. Only people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will survive. No one else will survive. And anyone that is a true believer, doesn't matter whether they're dead now or they will be dying then, doesn't matter, because only us. So all those that are dead, they'll come alive and so on and so forth. So everyone is either for damnation or therefore salvation. So everyone will rise from the dead and will be judged at the last judgment. And that's the last judgment. It's the ultimate judgment. And whatever way you go, and it's real simple. If you're a believer, you live. If you're not, you don't. So this is how you can tell who's a believer, because the reason you're born again is so you can die to yourself so that you can live for God. The reason you're born again is so that you can die to yourself so you can please God by loving your neighbor. Now, you can't love your neighbor if you still love yourself. Hallelujah. And every one of us still loves themselves. Everybody. Everybody. Even Christians, even pastors, doesn't make any difference. You still love yourself until Jesus comes back again, but he never counts your behavior. You won't go to hell because of your behavior. You're only going to go to heaven because you believe that Jesus Christ came to save you. Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. And so Jesus' name is Jesus, Yeshua. It's the same, Old Testament, New Testament, no difference. So he introduced Israel, and Israel was not able to keep the law. And so he had to then do away with the law. So Jesus came to completely eliminate the law, which is a command. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you perish, because it's the death tree. But then anybody who's sick or dead or hurtful or whatever, God comes and solves all that. And so Jesus satisfied God completely when he did what he did, not for himself, so that he could go to heaven. He is heaven. Wherever he is, that's heaven. And if he's in your heart, that's heaven. If he's upstairs, that's heaven. Wherever Jesus is, wherever God is, it's heaven. So it isn't a place. It isn't a location. So, for example, this church is not a church. A church just simply means individuals who are part of a spiritual community. And we just gather here. We're the church. And so we're the church. And so when you're born again, that's your foundation. Then you're built in chair two, your death. And that takes a while. It takes more than just as I am. You have to actually die. And that could take a month or two or maybe a year or maybe 80 years or whatever. It takes a while to get rid of your sin. How many know that having children, you have to realize that child raising is, I don't know, 20, 30 years, usually. And so it's customary that for a wife, it's a tough job because the church is hard to build. And so the same way in heaven, you have to go through this process. Here it is, 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, and 6, same thing. So one is just being born again, your sins are forgiven. Then the next one, which we call 5, you're discipled. You're a believer, now you're a disciple. And then after that, you're a lover. So you're born so that you can die to yourself so that you can love your neighbor as yourself. Then you've completed the whole law. So we actually will complete what the Jews could never complete because they're still following the law. We're not under law, we're under grace. We're not under law, we're under grace. Since you're under grace, you have nothing to do except thank you. The only thing you can do when you worship God is thank you. Why? Because you didn't do anything. Even your worship is God doing it. Even your faith is God doing it. Even your repentance is God doing it. Everything God does is a gift of God. Why? Because you're his child. You're beloved just as much as Jesus Christ. No more, no less. Now I want to say that again. You are born to be God's child on the earth, And since you're his child, he's going to grow you up so he can marry you. The only reason he's growing you up right now is because you're not ready because you have a sin. One sin will keep you out of heaven. One. You just have one sin, you've broken the whole law. Let's say you murdered somebody, but another guy murdered 10 people. It's the same. Doesn't make any difference. You're a murderer. So God doesn't count the way we count. Well, he only killed one person. And so you're not allowed to kill one person. You're not allowed to lie once. And so we've all goofed up. Yeah. All of us have messed up from the time you're 1 and a half. Okay, one. Whenever they say no, that's it. You know that. Then they're a person. That's a person asserting themselves. Because everyone wants to be great. Kind of like, not like God, but they want to be God. In other words, they want to control everything. How many here are control freaks? Everybody. So since you're a control freak, you don't like this marriage, so you get out. You don't like this, you know, deal, you know. So you always do what you should not do, which is don't do anything. Let God do it all. Let God be God. You're pretty good at it. He's been after it, you know, for quite a while. And so God is real good at being kind and good, and he's never had one evil thought ever. Since he created you and he wrote his name in your heart, everybody, even the most wicked people, even a Democrat, it doesn't matter because God loves them because he wrote his name on them. So you have to love the Democrats. Isn't that exciting? So this whole deal going on is just, that's just wicked. So what? That's just chair one. Chair one is open sin. Chair two is hypocritical. A hypocrite is just somebody who is not themselves. When you're yourself, you'll sin. Did you hear what I just said? When you're yourself, everything you're going to do is going to be a sin. And why did God make you that way? Why did God give you reason and it don't work? Reason don't work. Right? Because reason tells you to work. That's why it's so silly. Why should you work when Jesus does it all? What did you have to do when you created the world? Nothing. What did you have to do when Jesus died on the cross for you? Nothing. What did you do to be justified, sanctified, glorified? What did you do? Nothing. Because apart from me, you can do?
Nothing.
Nothing. So you're a nothing person. Isn't that fun? To be a nothing. Let the Father do it all. The Father is in charge of everything on earth. Now, when you sin, that's you. If you sin, that was you. Isn't that funny? So that kind of humbles you every day to realize, golly, I can't stop sinning and I can't start doing the right thing.
Right.
So religion is trying to do the right thing, but you can't do it. Nobody has ever done a good work, ever, ever, ever. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? If all have sinned, then you're part of the all. All means all. I mean, no one accepted. So the only person that's good is Jesus. Yes. Do you agree?
I do agree.
Golly, us old people, they get it. Young people, you know, they don't get it yet. And I don't blame you because Jesus doesn't make sense. Jesus never makes sense. Whatever he says something else, and he just sounds confused. But Jesus actually does things that you can't understand. How could a good God love sinners?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, he should hate them. No, he hates the sin, but he doesn't hate you. He separates you from your sin. So you, he loves, but sin, he hates. So if he hates sin, and you're the one that did it, he should include you in that. Well, you can do that on your own. You can do that on your own. If you're an unbeliever and you don't believe that after you sin, God will forgive you, then you are going to be an unbeliever. And an unbeliever doesn't make it. But you don't have any control over anybody else's life, nor do you have any control over your own life. You need to be under new management. So you need to be born to die to resurrect. Born to die to resurrect. Now, what did you learn so far? Yeah, you just say what I said. What I said is God's word. The reason Jesus was born, this is Jesus' life, and it's also yours. Same. Whatever, the reason he came is so he could be like us. He's a prophet that was raised up in the book of Deuteronomy, 18th chapter, 15th verse, maybe the 18th verse. In fact, it's all the way throughout the Old Testament. He said, another prophet, Moses said, I will raise up in the last days. Not today, not now, but in the future. And so he's prophesying and he says, don't look at me as a king. Don't look at me as your ruler. I'm just the lawgiver. I just simply say whatever God says. A good judge always says what God says, not what the laws say. I want to say that again because you didn't understand that. A good judge does not have discretion to do whatever he wants to do. He's no good if he does that. He has to actually submit to higher law jurisprudence. That is, whatever heaven says, you says. So diction, jurisdiction, the law's diction, how it talks, it always talks the way God says to talk, but today it ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so that people just today are wicked. Okay, love them, forgive them, bless them, do good for them. That's the Bible. So you see, our job is easy. Just love people, you know, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't worry about anything. Any evil is not going to last. Evil only has a short period of time, then it's over. So in heaven, it won't be anything like here. Heaven is you don't have taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good news right there. There'd be no taxes and no dust. It won't be anything like here. You're not used to that. And so God's words are not your words. God's ways are not your ways. God's talk is not your talk. He has different ways that he thinks and talks and does. And he wants to make everybody his child. And he's got his name written on you and said, Larry, you belong to me. I wrote my name on you. What did he do? He just wrote his name on him. I don't know. His finger. This finger here, this finger just says, this one is mine. Larry, you're mine. No pope, no emperor, no pastor, nobody is between you and God. That's amazing. And everybody, bad people, good people, don't make any difference. He treated everybody alike. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care that you're this or you're that. He doesn't believe in those titles. Amen. We're all the same, male, female, doesn't make any difference, young, old, short, smart, it doesn't matter. Doesn't care about any of that. Those are things that are big on the earth, but they're not big in heaven. And so God wants everyone to love everybody all the time. Well, that would be heaven on earth. And we have it right here in the church, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'll say that again. We have it right here in the church, right?
Amen.
Don't we love one another?
Yes.
By faith?
By faith.
Yeah, by faith. It ruined it by saying by faith, yes. Of course it's by faith. Because you don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to want to do it. Just say what he said to say and do what he said to do. What is that? Nothing. Anybody can do nothing. So it's easy to do nothing. But that doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means that you don't do anything except what God says. So if God says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's something you can do by faith. You don't have to see it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to want to do it. Just simply do it. And when you do it, it multiplies. Every time God says something to do and you do it, it multiplies. Instead of the 5,000, he not only fed the 5,000 plus all the children and also then the ladies and so on. They all ate that day because he multiplies it. And then after that, there were 12 baskets full and they were bigger than what they started with. You know, just some fish and, you know, is nothing. But Jesus can multiply anything. How many know heaven is not like earth? Up in heaven, everybody's happy.
That's right.
Everybody's happy up there. And voluntarily, even the good angels, they're voluntarily happy about everything. And whatever they come to do on earth, they're just servants of God. And they'll be your servants. Did you know you have an angel?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Everybody. They call them guardian angels, but they're just simply doing what God said. So an angel could actually say anything they want, whatever God says to say it, they say it, and they do it. And they're happy. They've never left their estate. The wicked angels, don't worry about them. They'll just go in the lake of fire. That's where they belong because they actually believed in Satan, right? And Satan is just simply the, you know, big shot. He was Lucifer at one time. But he's just there to tempt you, and everybody has fallen for it. Even Christians. Even after you're a Christian, you still sin.
Amen.
How many are aware of that? You still sin every day. You exaggerate, you're jealous, you're envious, and so on and so forth. So every day you have to fight the devil, and he loves it. He loves it when you fight like that because you're going to lose. The devil wins every time. You can't beat the devil. He's so good. Now, he's not good. He's just good at what he does. Tempt you. And then he's immediately the accuser. Ha! He stepped over the line, God. Did you see that? And so God kicked him out of heaven because he was tired of those deals on the bride. And we're the bride. You're the bride. The bride of Christ has to be without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, blemish, stain, iniquity, whatever. All of that will be gone. We'll all be righteous, and there'll be no sin in heaven at all. You can't even get into heaven. You can't even get into heaven. And I don't know who the doorkeeper will be. They say St. Peter, but I think it might be Cain. Did you know that? Did you know that? Cain said, it's more than I can bear. Everyone that sees me is going to kill me because I killed my brother. Well, that was a sin. He hates sin. But he loves him. And he said, no one's going to kill you. I'll just put a mark on you. And I'll postpone your judgment till the end of time. Maybe then you'll have time to think about it in Hades. You know, you have time to think about it. So I wouldn't be surprised that Cain is there. And maybe Adolf. You never know. You never know at the last second a person could be a believer because they heard your words and saw your deeds and realized, you must be a Christian. So we have the good news. Nobody else has the good news. Everything in this world is bad news. Even the great things that people do is nothing. It's nothing. You can't even compare it to what's in heaven. So I thought I'd end up this year with a powerful message out of John, the fourth chapter. Now, did you know about that? How many know what that's all about? Just guess.
The woman at the well.
The woman at the well.
Yeah.
That's very good. How'd you know that?
Oh, I've been reading.
Yeah. Praise God. That is awesome. That is awesome. One Christian here. Okay, so it's all about the woman at the well. So I'm going to read, and I can't read it all because it's too much. It's a long chapter. But it's all about this woman at the well who had to leave where he was in Galilee and had to go to Samaria. Samaria is some area between Jerusalem and something else. It's some area. No, it's not some area. It's S-A-M. And so Samaria is then this place, and they all were wicked people there. You know why? Because they used to be Jews, and then they were sinning all over the place. And God said, you know, if you don't stop sinning, I'm going to give you over to the devils you're trying to defeat. I'll just give you over. And so remember, there were, now listen carefully, because this is kind of like a test. There were five kingdoms that this woman was married to. Assyria, that was the second one. The first one was Egypt. So it's Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, then Greece. So those five. And Greece was followed by Rome. But this one is interesting. Rome is interesting. So Jesus said to this woman, it was noontime in Sychar. That was the place they were at, a location. And that was where Mount Gerizim where all of the Samaritans live, because they were taken to Assyria and they married, then Jewish people married the Assyrians, so they mixed their blood. And so now, because they didn't keep the law that they were supposed to keep, as an example to us, don't be Jewish. Did you hear what I said? I'm not talking about Jewish as a race. I'm talking about keeping under a law. Now, all the kingdoms of the world had their own laws. King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, whatever. They all had their laws. Do what I say, basically, is what the law says. When you do what God says, or whoever the king is, he's God. And so he wants his own way. Politicians still do that. Did you know politicians still are corrupt? And so we started out with all that Jesus stuff, but we got rid of that right away because people were into making money. America's all about making money. Be great again. That's mostly jobs and all that kind of stuff because people are interested in that. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, he would give you that for free. Amen. He would have given you that for free. But we quickly got rid of all those words like, you know, be kind to your neighbor and so on. We got rid of that and decide, oh, let's just be like all the other nations of the world. Israel, same problem, same problem. Everything in the world doesn't work out the way you planned. Have you noticed that? Whatever you plan in this world, it won't work. And if you seek happiness, you'll not get it. How many of you get married to have happiness? I mean, you want to marry, you know, someone nice. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Did you know that people have egos? They want their own way. And everybody wants their own way. I'm taller than Peggy, but Peggy can boss me around. She has her sneaky ways, you know, dominating me. And I'm taller. And, you know, I can do stuff, you know, but she wants me to do what she wants me to do. And so that's great. What a good wife. How many a good wife who can find? Isn't that funny? A good wife who can find. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to find a good wife that will submit to a husband, right? Because men are no good. They're liars, deceivers, tricksters. That was me. But since then, I've become more like Peggy was pretending she was, and she's become more like me. Because I once said to her, Peg, just speak up if you don't like, you know, something I'm doing. And she started speaking, and she's not stopped. She just keeps speaking all the time. I thought you said the man should get the burden and the woman should get the blessing. Yes, that's a sermon. It was like a sermon, but nobody could do it. And people think I'm a bad pastor because I didn't teach that, because it's in the Bible. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. Isn't that simple? Just, it's in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, you have to preach it because I'm a preacher. You have to preach whatever God says, and I preach that. But so that's really great in Uganda. It's great over there. All the women, they used to bow down to their men. They would be in the kitchen, and they'd cook all that stuff, and then they'd come in like this, you know, serving the plate. They wouldn't even look at their husband with all the men sitting around the table, and then they'd go backwards and go like that. And I thought, that was great. I'm going to tell Peggy about that. That was good. And I said, this is really good that the man is honored. We don't do it like that in America, but that'd be great. What do you think, Peg? Can anyone guess? And so she said, no way. No way. Not doing it. I'm going to punish you for all the stuff you did. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I quoted. But she said, I don't care. Well, how long did you abuse me? I don't know, 20, 25 years. Okay, I want that too. I'm going to punish you for 20, 25 years. Because now you say you're a Christian, you're going to follow Jesus. Okay. So I want you to suffer and hurt just like I did. So that was great. I said, well, okay. Do you really want to wait 25 years? Because then we'll be 70. You'll be 70. before this, you know, you forgive me. Yes, 25 years, just like you did. So she started sinning and doing whatever she wanted, and getting all the blessing, want me to have all the burdens. Go and do that. You do it, and so on. Well, Peg, what about you helping out? Or no, I don't want to. So I love this kind of wife, a good wife who can find. This is great. So I said, well, if you punish me like that, when will we ever have happiness on earth? I don't care. I just want you to suffer and hurt, just like I did. Wow, that would be good. That would be good. I agree with that because I deserve it. How many know men deserve what they get?
No.
So, they do. Am I right, Judy? Yeah. But since that's the case, then you have to realize that this is a good message about the men getting all the burden. Because that's a man. Did you know Jesus did that? We were burdened down with sin. He forgave our sin. We didn't have wisdom. He gave us wisdom. We didn't have favor. He gave us favor. Everything Jesus saw that the church, which is always a woman in the Bible, the church, her, always gets the blessing and Jesus always gets the burden. But men also are called the bride of Christ. Did you know that? Even though we're men. So, I want to do what Jesus said. He was a good husband, so I want to be a good husband to my wife. So I said, okay, whatever you do, I forgive you and I love you and I'm never going to change. I can still love you no matter what you do. I will never stop loving you. Unless, no, there's no unlesses. So you have to love people just the way they are. You have to forgive everybody, no matter who you meet, anywhere. It's good practice. So we'll all be the bride of Christ. Christ will be the husband. You'll be the wife. So he removed all the burdens on his wife, said, you should die, I'll die for you. You should pay for what you did, but I'll forgive all your sins. Wow, that's good. So Jesus made a way when there is no way. And all he had to do is kill the man. All he had to do is kill the man. So the reason you're born again is so that you can die, so that you can live and love other people. That's great. This is a great idea. How many here really like that idea? This is a great idea. It really works. Four people. Anybody else? Well, no, this is a good idea because it's in the Bible. Doesn't it say, love God with all your heart and soul and strength, love your neighbor as yourself? A second is like into it. So you have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And that would wear you out. Because if you have to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, golly, that would be, you'd be under new management that way. You'd be under the law. And you have to, you have to do it and you can't gripe about it. You have to love it. You have to be happy about it. You see how he's wanting to kill everybody? Did you see Jesus actually wants you to die, just like he died? I lived, and then I have to die so that I can be resurrected. And so now, when he was born again, now he wants you to be born again. He died, you want to die, so that you can resurrect with him. And now, his resurrection life is a promise to you. How many are believers now? You want to believe, not for heaven, you want to believe for earth. Because when you do these things on earth, when men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. They won't give you the glory. There's no glory for man. Isn't that funny? There's no glory. There's no honor. You just do it because you want to do it. How many know you don't have a want that wants? I don't want to do God's will. I want to do my will. I'm in heaven. How many know that God says heaven is loving your neighbor, loving God? In other words, not having a life of your own. God wants to wipe out all the selfishness of man. Wow, isn't that blessing?
It is.
Woo! Isn't that glorious?
Yes.
Imagine getting to hold, this would be like heaven. In heaven, everyone will love God with all their heart and soul and strength and love their neighbor as themselves. So why not start now? Head Start program, we could start right now. We could love everybody just like that. And Walter, we could start with you.
Yeah, okay.
Do you love these two kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you love your wife?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you see, that's by faith. That's totally by faith, yeah? Every once in a while you feel it, but it doesn't last long. But anyway, so you could feel it, but God wants you to actually stay a sinner so that you're humbled every day. Imagine you're a saint, but you actually sin. Do you know saints sin? If you're a Christian, shouldn't that be rid of sin? Yeah, but it takes a while. It takes a while for you, just like raising children. It takes a while for you to say, hey, stop running. And then 5 minutes later, they're running again. Hey, don't get up there. All the children love to come right afterward and speak through those microphones. They do. They all see one another doing it. They all want to do it. But I taught my kids, hey, you don't. And I had them sitting right here in the front row. My kids always had to sit in the front row right here. And I said, don't you look around. Don't do anything anyone else does or you're going to be spanked. Good father. How many know you have to start out with the law? Then you get the gospel later. So they hated me, actually, for doing all that. You see, don't look around and don't do anything anyone else does. You're a pastor's kid. You're a pastor's kid. You're a pastor's kid. I had four of them. So you had to do that. And so, but today they love Peggy and I and think we're perfect parents. It's amazing. Well, of course, it's in faith. But well, that's what the Christmas cards say anyway. So everything, you see, is life on earth ain't, you know, it's not exactly as God says. You can read it, and it's not exactly as God says. He says, you call on me, and I'll answer right early. So obviously he has a sundial or something. I don't know what right early means, because sometimes I called upon him, and he didn't answer. Has anyone discovered that? And God is kind of slow to anger, but he's slow to answer, too. He's slow. He has his own time schedule. And he knows that you have to obey the parent. Children, obey your parents, for this is good. This is a good thing, right? And so we have to learn to forgive everybody and everything that you do as well as everybody else. You have to forgive yourself. How many have learned to forgive yourself every day? Because every day you sin. Every day you are less than joyful. I mean, maybe the doorbell won't work or something like that. It bothers you. Maybe the toaster, you know, you need a new one. You know, everything bothers us. Because you have to learn to say, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Hallelujah! How many do that? Everything. You have to do it. Yeah, you have to do it. That's the rule. But not only that, he gives you his Holy Spirit so you can do it in the Holy Spirit. So now, heaven on earth. And Peggy and I now have a beautiful marriage because I'm dead. It took me to die so that I could love my neighbor, and she's the first neighbor. So she's the first one. So, and you love your neighbor, David. Do you love your family with all your heart, soul, and strength? Do it by faith? Yeah, by faith. Okay. And so...
Truth or honesty.
So do you love your parents just the way they are?
Absolutely.
Do you forgive them?
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. Do you too? Wow, pretty awesome. You have a good family. So everybody here learns that sin is not permanent. Sin is not permanent. As a matter of fact, when he comes back, the last judgment will be everybody's judgment. You go to the lake of fire, you go to the left, you go to the right, you go to the left. Boom. Everybody will be on the left hand, lake of fire. Everybody on the right hand, go to heaven. But based on what? Only your faith. I like our religion. It's only faith. Only faith. But someday you will see everything you're believing now. With your own eyes, with these eyes, you will see the Lord in the land of the living. When Jesus comes back, everyone will see him. All the eyes will bow the knee and they'll confess with their mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that's coming?
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's going to come.
Glory.
And we're getting close. We're getting close. And some people find life is so unbearable that they just want to kill themselves or drug themselves or, you know, opiate them, whatever they want to do, because people can't stand life. I love life. I love it just the way it is. Don't you love the life just the way it is? You're not trying to do away with bad people because it won't work. The minute you say America will be great again, well, he's just talking reasonably about America, because you can't make America great again because you have to be good in order to be great. So nobody's going to make America great unless you're good. And this guy, he saw the president saying that little quote thing, "Make America great again." The little hats and stuff. Make America great again. But he can't make America great. Only God can make America great, right? And he can't unless you're good, unless you're righteous, unless you're holy, unless you're perfect. So, it's going to be a problem. I don't think he'll really get rid of Al-Qaeda. I don't think he's going to get rid of every Muslim on earth that believes that they should rule the world. And we should be having our head chopped off. I don't think so. I don't think you can get rid of bad people. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't even be hating Christians who are bad Christians. We should love them with all our heart, soul, and strength. You all agree? Shouldn't we just love them? Forgive them? Just do good for them. Sacrifice. It's so exciting. Isn't it? Teresa, you know that.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's good. Because it works. And if you do it, then only the church would be happy. Only the church. But your happiness might influence somebody else to be happy. Because they don't see churches that are anything more than lukewarm. But don't get rid of the bad churches. Don't get rid of the bad religions. Don't get rid of the bad ideas for government. Don't get rid of anybody. Love everybody. Isn't that our reason for being on the earth? So that we live to die, so that we can resurrect. On earth, as in heaven. How can you do this when you're in heaven? Because everybody's happy in heaven. You have to do it now. So that when men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father, which art in heaven. So God wants the earth to have, and this church could be a holy church. By faith. You can't be a holy church without faith. Amen. You have to be a holy church with faith. If you add faith to whatever you do, it's forgiven. Did you hear what I just said? If you just say, "Hey God, I don't know if that was me, you, or the devil, but I'm going to put faith with that. I'm going to believe that you love me even though I goofed up. I messed up." I do that every day. I do that every day. Because he shows me, I'm on the one-a-day plan, but he shows me a sin every day. Because I'm starting to read the Bible every day, and it convicts me, and I have to confess that sin. Whatever he shows me first, I'll just deal with that, because it might be a little one or a big one. I don't want to keep at that, because it might show me two sins, and I can't remember two sins. I'm like a little kid. If he just shows me one sin, God, go to your room, and then you brush your teeth and then come to the table. A little kid can't do that because he'll be walking down the hall and he'll see a toy and he'll just get distracted. Where are you? They don't know what they're doing because they're playing. Oh, okay. They remember one. I'm supposed to go to my room and do this and then come to the table. Oh, I'm late at the table. And so little kids, they just can't remember it. You have to get the concept long before you get the conduct. You have to get the concept down, obey your parent. And so, you know, we spanked them. I didn't spare the rod. I used the rod. And David, you remember?
Never spared.
And it worked. But I didn't know David had books in his pants. I never knew that. So I had to teach him another idea. I have another idea. Since you don't always obey, instead of spanking you, What do you think of the idea of mercy? What do you mean, Dad? Well, instead of spanking you, I could just let it go and just, you know, you'll be free. Yeah. Yeah. I want that. Okay. But since Mom will ask whether I spanked you, I'm going to spank the bed instead. So I spanked the bed several times. And then they walked out and say, you maybe fake crying or whatever you have to do. But so that you've learned your lesson, because we're on the mercy thing. Now, I lost on the obedience side, but I gained on the mercy side. They really understood that mercy thing. That is a very good idea. But Mom wanted to know if I spanked them. Not because she wanted them spanked. She just didn't want me to just let them off without telling her what I was doing. Because I wanted them to learn that mercy is greater than punishment. Why? That's the gospel. That's good news. I think that's good news. So after their, what age do you have in your family when you stop spanking?
10, 8.
10, 8? 7.
And
7?
No, I spanked until they were 12.
12. Yeah, that's good.
They may not have known.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But after a while, it doesn't work.
It
doesn't work. Because they'll come up with tricks. They'll come up with ideas. And Dave would used to come down the hall and say, Dad, Dad, I've learned my lesson. While he's just walking down. Because I had that in a drawer in our dining room. I had it in a drawer there. Go and get the spanking stick because what you did is wrong. And Dave, Dad, Dad, you don't need to do it. Because I got the mercy. I want the mercy. Because I've learned my lesson. And so they became lawyers. They knew how to argue the case. And so it's clever. Now, the whole world's full of hypocrites. The whole world's full of lukewarm people. Make provision for the flesh. Make provision for the flesh. How many here still sin on a daily basis? It's like Pastor Jim. Right. So it's a good church, regular church, real church. A real church lets people sin and forgives them. Now, what do you do to punish people? Don't. Let Jesus do it. Let Jesus do it. Did you know that inside of you, you have a conscience? On the inside of everybody, God planted this conscience that says, do good and don't do bad. Okay. But sometimes you want to do bad anyway. Pay them back. Get even. But if you do what God says, you don't do that. You say, you're forgiven by God. And I taught my children how to say that. Just say, when I'm going to spank you for doing something wrong, say, Dad, did Jesus forgive you? I want you to forgive me. And then they use that on me. And I love that. I love that. That's good. Now, they're growing in the gospel, but fully on the law. You know, because Dad will forgive us. Not the prodigal son. Not that kind of thing. So God has his ways and means committee of actually putting on your conscience that what you did was wrong. And that started when you were one or two. You're one or two. They're already sinning at that age. I like little kids because they always lie, but they always tell the truth after you ask them a second time. Especially if you threaten them. So I like little kids. How many of you two-year-olds here did sinning today? Nobody wanted to say. Okay. Some of you might have sinned. And then one little kid will raise his hand. And then all of a sudden, all the other kids will raise their hand because they see that kid raising their hand. Because now we're not going to punish you for that. Because he doesn't punish people for doing bad. Because he loves people. Amen. Wow. That's a good idea right there. But did you know the love won't set you free? Truth sets you free. Unless you mention Jesus Christ, you're not telling the truth. Because Jesus is the truth. So you have to mention Jesus Christ, and that makes people mad. They really get mad at you for doing that, right? Yeah. If you say to the Muslim, hey, I'm a Christian. Your head has to be chopped off. I'll give you a couple of hours, maybe a few minutes. But whatever they give you, a friend of mine was in Saudi Arabia, and he had dozens and dozens and dozens of churches, and against the law in Saudi Arabia to have a Christian church. But he had lots of them. And pretty much they figured it out, and he put them in jail and said, and then they sent the imam in, and he said, you got 3 days. And on the third day, you can either become a Muslim and then renounce Christianity, or you're going to die. George W. Bush over here, he said to his guy, a lawyer from Dallas, he said to him, I want you to go right now and get that guy out of jail. I'll call the king. I'll call him. So he called. That guy's now been here 16 years. I just went to Southern Sudan with him, which they created. They created, right here in America, we created that. And actually, Robert, he had something to do with that, a lot to do with that. And so he's now going to do a lot of traveling throughout the world to do that, to divide, so the Muslims have the north and you get the south. All the Christians are in the southern regions, on the northern regions. But Christians can exist anywhere, but it stops the war. It stops the chopping of the heads off. Do you hear what I'm saying? So love doesn't do it, but love prompts you to tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, it sets people free. Right? So this woman from Samaria, she met Jesus, and Jesus is thirsty, or so it says, because he says, give me a drink. And she's there at the well, and she was up at noon because she'd been messing around all night. And so she was up at noon. The other ladies are there early in the morning. So he says, give me a drink. And so she said, sir, I thought Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. I thought you're not supposed to talk to us because we're bad people. Because they were Jewish, but they rejected the law and became slaves then of Assyria and married and so on and so forth. And now the Jews had nothing to do with those kind of people. Because Jewish people want you to keep the law. Right? Yes. So this is what's wrong with the law, is you have to hate people that do it. Not like God. God forgives people that are sinners. Did you know God loves sinners? Amen. With all his heart, all his soul, and all his strength. He loves his neighbor as himself. We're his neighbor. So he forgives our sin. And he said, whatever you've done, I'm going to change the rule, Jesus. I want you to go back. It's 4,000 years in history. Now I want you to go back, and I want you to give the new idea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repent means start comforting yourself, because God has already forgiven you. There's no law over you. Against such there is no law. And I'll take care of cleaning you up. So then you become four, and then you become five, and then you come six. That's your new man right there. That's what God is doing to you right now. You're either in faith, or you're discipled, or you're a lover. And so you become then a different person under new management, where Jesus Christ is your Lord. So justification, sanctification, glorification. If you're not sanctified, you won't be glorified. You have to be justified in order to be sanctified, in order to be glorified. So you have to go through this process until you're ready to be the bride of the groom. And the bridegroom is coming back, maybe in our lifetime. Some say in our lifetime. I agree. It could be in our lifetime for young people, maybe for you. You like that? See Jesus come back? Don't sin. Because now sin, and there's only one sin left. There's no Ten Commandments. There's only one sin left, unbelief. The only sin is, after I sin, will God forgive me? I believe he will. Yes, because by believing. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifies the ungodly, to that one, I count that as righteous. So God has reversed it. Now, God feels that Jesus has to die for you. And if Jesus dies for you, you can't die. Spiritual death. You can't die. So since Jesus died for you and you believe that, he counts that as righteous. He counts that as fulfilling the commandment which says, be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Be you holy as I'm holy. Be you righteous as I'm righteous. He makes himself the measure, and yet, all the time, he's going to send his son to die for me and to take my death as his death. And when he dies, I dies. When he raises, I'm raised. When he does everything, it's me. Because Jesus became one of the brethren. He became one of the brethren. And so he wants to now give me by faith and then be disciplined. So he's Savior, then he's Lord, then he's bridegroom. He's Savior, he's Lord, he's bridegroom. And then I'll be the bride of Jesus. It's amazing how God has everything make it good news. Because God is good. God cannot change his nature. He's always been good and he will always be good. He's always a loving father. He's never been an angry judge and he never will be. Because we people, if we live among each other, we can't get along. Even in a marriage, even if you're on an island all by yourself, you wouldn't get along with yourself. How many know that people are hard to live with? Even you. Why'd you do that? Why did you say that? That's wrong. People will criticize themselves. So everyone hates themselves. That's why you hate your neighbor. If you love yourself, you'd love your neighbor. I'll say that again. Yeah. If you love yourself, you'll love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because God says, I love you. And if I, why does he love me and he's perfect? Then I must be okay in his eyes. So I don't know how he works all that out, but it's through Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. If God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, he didn't want me to reconcile him. He wanted him to reconcile me. He wanted to pay the price. Jesus, you on, go on down. They'll kill you. You'll be among relatives, so don't worry about that. But you'll be among the Jewish people. Wow. Aren't they, they don't forgive people because they're keeping the law and they're judging everybody else that doesn't. But they're only keeping it outwardly. They're not keeping it with all their heart and soul and strength. Because they can't. Because they have their old heart. And they got that from Adam and Eve. So if they have the old heart, then no one can give them good news. I have to give them a new heart. So if they believe in me, I'll give them a new heart. But what about a new soul? What about a new body? He's taking care of that. Faith takes care of your new heart, then new body, new soul. Hate yourself until you're dead. And then resurrect yourself, and then you're alive, and you're a lover, because God is love. You love your neighbor as yourself, you've completed the whole law. So this little simple illustration is just it's just a made-up thing. But it's the whole story. The whole story of the gospel is that God has never hated anybody. How can he hate people that he created? So he gives them a chance by saying, okay, I forgive all your sins, chair 4. Don't stop right there. Keep going. Chair 5. Okay, kill me, Lord. Thank you. And then I can love my neighbor. So all God had to do in the marriage was kill me. He didn't have to kill my wife. He had to kill me. But before that, I was always right. Because I'm taller. And I'm stronger. And I'm smarter. And I know how to argue my way. No. You were wrong. I was right. How many know that won't work? That is a definite non-working thing right there. I tried that out. Well, just do what I say and I'll be happy. Well, I don't want to make you happy and I don't care if you're happy or not. I like it. I like it. But you have to die in order to love. How many are excited about that? Boy, that's thrilling. Are you totally dead to yourself? So that you don't have any will of your own, you don't have a mind of your own, you don't do anything, you don't say anything, you don't just do what Jesus said. I don't like that idea. Yeah, you have to like it. Isn't that exciting? Right? You do trust Pastor Jim, don't you? Because I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not making this up. It's all in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible. And you just do what the Bible says without understanding. Faith doesn't come by understanding. Well, I didn't understand what he meant by neighbor. People always have excuses. Well, I didn't understand that. Well, my pastor didn't tell me that. So I've told you, don't sin. But what is sin? I redefined it the way God redefined it.
Yeah.
Unbelief. But if you have to believe that Jesus is good, that makes you good. All I have to do is believe that Jesus was good, and then he calls me good. Wow. So what you're teaching your kids is not that they should be good. You're teaching them that they should be just like you. And when you're kind and loving, children respond to that. Right, Judy?
Yes.
Grandparents understand that because you're a grandparent. And you don't give them back to the parents if they don't behave. But really, parents need to learn that Jesus Christ has rigged the world for you to be happy every minute of every second of every day. Every minute of every second of any
Amen.
Day. Isn't that exciting? Peg, aren't you glad you married me? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That is a good husband. Say that. How did I do it? I didn't. I just read the Bible with her. Just reading the Bible. How many of you read the Bible every day with your wife, with your children? Every single day. If you don't read the Bible, you're not reading the Word of God, and only the Word of God is going to change you. Beholding Him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. In other words, from 4 to 5 to 6. So you have to be a 4 where Jesus died for you on the cross. Everyone wants to stop there instead of going on. But then you have to suffer right here and be under his instruction every day so that he gets rid of all your sin. So beholding him, you're justified by faith. And then you have to be sanctified by beholding him, number 4, so that you can become number 5, so that you can become number 6. So God wants you to be alive so you can die, so you can resurrect and love your neighbor as yourself. Then he's coming back. As soon as the bride hath made herself ready, now you're the bride of Christ, and you've made yourself ready by not being ready. All you have to do is read the Word. The only thing he's ever given you is this Word. This Word is all you've got that Jesus left behind is his words. We have his words written down in the original Masoretic text, in the original Textus Receptus, in the Greek, Aramaic. You have to understand this word because it's so powerful. So what did he say to this woman? Give me something to drink because, you know, it's noontime and you're just arriving now. And she said, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. Why? Because that woman cannot give Jesus anything he asked for. Everything he asked for, and he's going to keep doing it. Everything he asked for, he will do. So he's only asking you so he can do it. So he asked her, give me a drink, but she can't give him a drink. She thought water. He wasn't drinking water. He wanted something else, living water. And so he says, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would get, she didn't get the water. She just said, you know, how are you going to do it? You don't have anything to draw with. And this well is deep. I've been at this well 20, 30 years ago, more than that. I don't know what. Long time. But I've been there, and that water is really good in Sychar. And you're just, this is what, they didn't have anything over it at that time. Maybe today it's all glassed in and so on and so forth with a McDonald's next to it. But in those days, you just were there, and you just had this bucket going down, splashing the water, get it up, you drink it, it's good water. It's good water because it comes from the mountains round about, Mount Gerizim and all that kind of stuff. So I drank it, it's good. But I didn't even know what it meant. But so she said to him, what is this drink, this living water that you have? You don't have any tool to get it. How are you going to get it? He was talking spiritually. She was talking worldly. She thought he wanted cold water because it was noontime, and she came out to get water, so she had her bucket there. You know, and so he says, I'll give you living water. If you knew it is that you're talking to, I'm the one. I'm the Son of God. I'm actually God himself. Wow. And she didn't know that because she has another religion. And all they have, oh, by the way, all the Samaritans have is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those five. Those five. So if she had read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, then she would know something, and she's the theologian. Because she says to him, okay, what's this living water that you have? I might be interested in that. So let's read what it says. You have to read the Bible. So, art thou, let's see, okay, here, let's see, Jacob's well was there, cometh a woman, Samaria, to draw water. The woman said to the man, how is it that you, being a Jew, askest of me, verse 9, who am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus said, no, I'm not like anybody else you're talking to. I'm a Jew, but I'm sent from God in heaven above to give you good news. Jesus has good news for everybody that he meets. Anybody that he meets, he has good news for that person. You need to have good news, whoever you meet. You need to do that. And what's happening right here? This is going to be a surprise here. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus, and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, because Jesus is the only giver. No one else is a giver. And he would have given thee living water. That is, this God is the one that gives, not men. Men do not give to God. God gives to men. The woman saith unto him, sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water that you're talking about, water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water, spiritual water, living water, that I shall give to him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So this is promising this person, Jesus, is promising to her, I don't want to speak about this world, water. I want to give you food that you don't know about. I want to give to you drink that you don't know about, spiritual. This spiritual water is what you need, Walter. You need this spiritual water. Not to be born again, because I know you're born again. But what you have problems is how to live this Christian life now that I believe these things. And you need the truth that will set you free to be happy from now on. Not just by faith, but actually you begin to see God multiplying things for you in this world. So you say, I am a real Christian, not just born again. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. I thirst not, neither come here to draw. I'd like to have this living water that doesn't run out. Jesus said to her, go home and call your husband and come hither. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you speak the truth. You have five husbands. Here they are. Assyria, second one. First one, Egypt. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. Those five. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. Those five. But the husband, the man you're living with right now, you're not married. He's not your husband. So you spoke the truth. You need spiritual water. You need spiritual food in order to be nourished every time you come together. Every time you come together to meet with God, personal or in church, doesn't matter. You have said, well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. And he to whom you now have is not your husband. Rome is not your husband. In that you said truly. So she didn't know what he was talking about. She's having trouble over the living water, first of all. But now she's having trouble over you have five husbands. But she had been, from that point, under Egypt. Israel was under Egypt. And then Assyria. And that's how the northern tribes, which she was part of, now mingled with them. So her blood was impure. She was a half-breed. She was not a real thing. But Jesus treated her as though she was the theologian of the world. Because everyone he meets is honored in God's sight. And the glory of God is that he treats everybody he meets, not judging them, not criticizing them. I did not come to judge and criticize anybody. I came to love. Wow, this would change this church. This would change the city. This would change the world. This is the way to make the world great spiritually. You seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. It's a free gift. If you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you'll make a mistake. It's not the law. The law is not how you get righteous. You don't get law because you're chair one or two. That's sin. Sin. It's the same thing. One and two, they're the same thing. Just one has got a mask over it, and two just is openly wicked. So the whole world is openly wicked today, or the whole world is openly religious and moral and clean and nice, and it's not true. There's nobody clean and nice. Everybody is going to experience pain and suffering in this world if you're trying to avoid it. So don't try to avoid it. My life is great. Yeah, it's just around the corner. You'll see that something's not going to work. And then I'm all deflated. People are depressed. Did you know people are, the biggest thing for our DA here in Fort Worth is mental problems. The biggest thing in California, mental problems. Everything is mental, mental, mental. There is no such thing as mental. You're depressed because you don't know Jesus. The only reason you're depressed is you don't know the joy of the Lord. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Everything is, there's no psychological problems. Just grow up. Read Jesus. He's got spiritual food and water. And so Jesus is teaching him, the world cannot teach you anything. The world is completely empty. There's no water in the well. But Jesus has living water. And it goes in, and it's now like a well of living water and just comes out. Your love and your joy and your peace and patience. You learned that from heaven. You didn't learn that from earth. Earth doesn't know any of those things. Oh, it has noble words that are like, there'll be peace on earth. There'll be no peace on earth unless God brings it. There's no peace on earth because there's no justice on earth, because there's no love on earth. There's nothing. Unless the church is now the number one foundation of this world, which is Jesus Christ. The church is nothing without Jesus Christ. What is this church? We believe in the gospel of Jesus. Because of his goodness, I'm good. And the rawest person in this city can come and say to you, God showed me something the other night, that I would be wicked to the hilt if I weren't knowing that Jesus loved me. But because I know he loves me, I know that that's wrong. And anybody can do that. But he needs a church that actually is a church, not the one in a building like this. The building's not the building. We're the building. He's building you into a mighty man of God, 4, 5, and 6. Death, resurrection. Life, death, resurrection. That's it. That's all. If you just remember those three things, that's all there is. You're only resurrected if you come out of the death, and you're only death if you have an eternal life in you. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Remember Moses said, right after he gave the law, another prophet God will raise up. Don't listen to me, the lawgiver. Listen to that one who has the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He didn't say all that, but that's what he was saying. another prophet in the end times. You'll see him in the last days. You'll see that one. He'll be the prophet. Don't listen to anybody else. He has the good news. I'm only driving you to Jesus. I'm only causing you to listen to somebody else God will send. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem, she said, is the place where men ought to worship. She's a good theologian. But Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the woman is the church. This lady is part of the church already. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, church is not a place. It's not something you can see. The church, the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of everybody here. Everybody here has, you are part of the church because you are the church. Because the church is a spiritual house, not a physical house. You can't see it. This, you can see this building, but building is nothing. You can see it's just a place. It could be anywhere. Wherever you are, that's the church. Wherever you are. And you're the church, not alone, but you're a church if you meet one other people. Just two people is enough. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So you can have church at work. You can have church in prison. You can have church anywhere you want. Everything, God is rearranging the world. Everything he's rearranging, Jew from Jew, Gentile from Gentile, pagan from pagan. He's shaping the world for his coming back. You worship what you know, not. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. It's not from Samaritans. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. You got to be born of the Holy Spirit, and you have to be able to speak the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's seeking out people to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, now I know that when Messiah comes, because she's reading the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, which is called the Christ. And when he's come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak to you am he. Jesus was God. Jesus was God. And he's speaking to her, a woman that should not be speaking with a Jewish person, because the Jews are not merciful. They do not forgive their enemies. They are angry at their enemies. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is forgiving. God wants to clean up everything, and we could start right here. We could start right here. It doesn't take anything because you don't do anything anyway. It's so easy to be yourself. He's not going to judge you because of anything you did or didn't do. He's going to judge you by his doing for you. By his doing for you. He does it for you. He's substituting for you. He's your pinch hitter. He's the one that does everything for you. To God be the glory. Soli Deo Gloria.
Hallelujah.
So God is saying, the one that's speaking to you, I'm he. If you read the Old Testament, and I'm going to take the next year and read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a very hard book to understand. It's one of the most difficult books to understand. But I want to do it because God has led me to say, preach out of Deuteronomy the second time God gave the law. The first time at Horeb, and the second time just before they get into the land, he's saying, let me go over this one more time because you're going to be my people. And they're going to goof up. They goofed up in the first place. Now they're going to goof up in the second place. But he goes over it again. But if you read between the lines, you can't just read it because you'll get mixed up. If you read it and someone doesn't give the true understanding, rightly dividing the word of God, you'll read it in the spirit. You don't read it in the flesh. Because the Spirit is everything to us. God is Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truth will set you free. That truth will set you free. John 8. So if that truth sets you free, you're free indeed. And against such there is no law. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all those meekness and so on. Everything is given to you for free. You don't have to do anything. It's just given to you. Say, wow, pastor, that's good news. Because the one we're speaking to is not me. This is Jesus speaking through me to you to say, hey, rejoice. Today, you got a loving Father. And he will never let you. He'll never forsake you. He's never going to let you go. He's going to keep you until that last day. Well, that's good. That's exciting. And you could start today. Who's ready? Who's ready? I want to go all the way with Jesus. Jeff. Jeff. You ready? Who else? Ready?
I'm ready.
Ready? All the way.
All the way.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And it? That's a good family. And are these kids okay?
You'll have to ask them. It's up to them.
It's up to them.
I can't spank them. It's my niece and her son. It's just me and her right now.
Yeah, right. just the two of you?
The two of us.
That's two of them. Two or three, you know. And one of you could be next. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All the way? All the way? That's a whole family.
Yeah.
Woo! It's too powerful. Who else? This is good news. Clay. Powerful. Who else? Jay. Who else? Larry. Bob. Jackie. Colleen. It's powerful. You see, he isn't done yet. The thing is, there's no fear of God today in the church, but it needs to come back, and all you got to do is preach the word and then live the word that you're preaching so that your walk is equal to your talk. So that what you say is actually who you are and not just saying it by faith. Because when you're dead, then you can't say it by faith when you're resurrected, because we actually have the power of the Holy Spirit and we have fellowship with his sufferings so that we may die to ourselves and live to God for the neighbor. Because God doesn't want the love that you have. He doesn't need anything. You can't give him anything. He wants to give her everything. So what he asked her for, he actually supplied. Whenever God demands anything of you, he'll supply it. That's a good husband. That's a good father. That's a good God. God wants to give you everything that you seek. Whatever you're wanting, and he built you this way, whatever you want, you can only get from God. You can't give it from anybody else. There isn't anybody else. There's nobody else. No earthly person can give you eternal life. No earthly. That's a new creation. And he wanted her to have this, and she got it. But she didn't even know it. So she went back to the little town there and said, hey, I met this guy. I think he's the Messiah. I don't know who he is, but he knew everything about me. He knew I had five husbands, which she did. And he knew I had a man that I'm living with that I didn't want to get married to, because you get sick and tired of keeping going in and out and it never works. You think after the first husband, I'll get a second one, it'll be better. Then the second one is worse. And then you get the third one and he's worse ever. Even if he's a Christian, it doesn't matter. Christians sin. And the next one could be a churchgoer, but he could be a judgmental churchgoer. The first one was a drunk, and the second one's this, and so on. Marriage, just stick with the wife of your youth. Stay with it. Don't ever, ever change, because it's the covenant that God made, and you didn't do it anyway. God did it. Stick with the person that you don't like. So what? Why do you have to have someone that you like all the time? Well, I didn't like the way she said this, the way she said that. So Pinky can tell you, I've changed. I used to be horrible, and now I'm wonderful. But it's all by faith. It's all by faith. But I actually believe the words. I didn't make myself believe it. I believe it. I read it. Boom. I knew that I knew that I knew. God is God. Jesus is his son. Stood to death for me. From now on, I'm no longer me. I'm not me. I'm now Jesus in me. Me in Jesus. That's powerful. Do you like that? Because Jesus is the only one that can change you. You can't change on your own. You can't change with help groups. You can't change with all this psychology and all that kind of nonsense. That's all witchcraft, period. Did I make myself clear? All of that is witchcraft. People go, I'm gonna hit my psychiatrist, see if he thinks I'm okay. I mean, their whole business is, you know, get paid. If it's psychology, why don't they give you a mind thing? Why do they always have to plug you into an outlet? Why do they always have to give you pills? That's all it is. It's a joke. It's like witch doctors. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit, why are you now ending to perfect yourself in the flesh? So, witchcraft is not some lady with a brew, you know, big broom or something. It's just simply, you began in the spirit, now you're ending in the flesh. So many people are subject to deception. They're subject to it because they have illusions in their head. That marriage will be wonderful until you get married. Then you realize, well, I don't like this person because it brings out my worst self. Did you know that people don't marry people that are no good? They marry people that are no good, but they can't stand themselves living with a person that's no good. And they don't want to live with themselves being tortured like that, punished like that. So get rid of that jerk and marry another jerk. And then you'll marry another jerk. It happens all the time, even in this church. Isn't that exciting?
One jerk's enough for me.
All right. Clay, close in prayer.
Lord, we thank you that there really is nothing for us to do but just behold you and receive from you. And you have already delivered us from our sins, our self, everything. And we thank you that your gospel is perfect, complete, easy, restful. Thank you that you have everything in hand, and all we do is just hold on to you in faith. And we thank you for this day and this teaching, and make the word come alive for us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Louise, do you want to say something?
Okay, thank you. To this lesson you gave us today, I